America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Friday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. That was one of the my favorite segments we've ever done. That was such a blast. Thank you again to Jake and Julian and Darnay for joining us. And thank you to Ben, as always, for being a great sport. And I like that you got your plug in there at the end. And they were very effusive in their praise for the elder statesman here of San Diego sports television.
On TV, we have the graphics. Well, we have them on our YouTube stream as well, where you have the name, and then we have the identifier below the name. I feel like it's just been Ben Higgins, great sport.
Yeah, Ben Higgins, great sport.
Great sport. He's just a professional. You're such a great sport, Ben, for dealing with this and dealing with that and putting up with this and putting up with that.
It's true.
That was actually a lot of fun.
That was a blast, all in the name of good and entertaining radio. That's what we try to provide for you every single day. Paulie Reindl here is the executive producer, Ben Higgins, as I mentioned, and we're joined by our pal Kyle Glazer. Great to have you in here talking some baseball with us.
Absolutely. This is the best time of year.
Ever.
Postseason baseball, this is the pinnacle. I mean, don't get me wrong, college football season, NFL, it's all exciting.
They can wait.
Postseason baseball is where it's at, and it's always so much more exciting when the Padres are in it.
No question.
And I found out, Kyle, actually very familiar with our regular Friday guest, has known him for a while now, and joining us from Cleveland, from the... Well, they used to call it the Jake. Now I think it's a Progressive Field, where the Cleveland Guardians begin their American League Division Series today against the Detroit Tigers, or tomorrow. We've got Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue, our weekly segment brought to you by Grand Old Barbecue. Jordan, how is the mistake by the lake treating you?
Oh, wow. What an intro. Good morning, friends. Yes, I am staring out over beautiful Progressive Field, where in a few hours the Tigers and Guardians will take turns doing their little pre-ALDS workout ahead of what is the first ever matchup between these two teams in the postseason, and the first ever matchup between two AL Central teams in the postseason.
Ever? Like that? This is the first time?
For this time. First time. We've never seen two AL Central teams play in the postseason since the division was formed in 1994. And that's all you need to know. And the fact that we are a Royals upset away from an all-AL Central, ALCS is really something shocking.
Yeah, Rob Manfred is just sucking down Tums in my Lanta this morning.
Central's completely gone from the National League.
Yeah, Central's out of it. Now, we always made the joke, at the beginning of the year when we're looking at the teams and we're like, God, if the Padres played in the Central, we would run away with it every year. But in the AL this year, you look at it and you go, holy crap, great pitching, great defense, great young stars. I mean, there are guys there. Tarek Skubal is a must-watch. He is a have to tune in. Cole Reagans is a must-watch. Bobby Witt Jr., a must-watch. Emmanuel Clase for the Guardians. I mean, Jose Ramirez, there's tons of star power. And I would say, honestly, kind of a different brand of baseball. But, man, it is really, really exciting to see all of those teams in it.
Absolutely. And for this matchup in particular, it is funny because Cleveland, for all the success that they've definitely had, you know, over the last decade, they knew almost in every case they're coming in with the underdog, you know, role, right? That's just generally how it's worked. And now here they are as the team that kind of stayed ahead of the rest of this surprisingly competitive AL Central for the entire season. And then the Tigers, who have just, you know, kind of captured the hearts of everybody that is watching them that isn't a fan of another AL Central team, especially after they were the ones, you know, to end Houston's season. So I'm really excited to see, especially with the way both these teams use their bullpens. There's going to be a lot of managerial buttons pressed over these next few games.
Hey, Jordan, what's up, man? It's Kyle. So I want to ask, the Tigers in particular, their pitching staff has been absolutely dominant since August 5th, a 2.71 ERA, best in the majors by nearly half a run. And what's been crazy is how they've done it. We obviously know Skubal's a stud, going to win the Cy Young, but it's been a lot of mixing and matching and openers. Casey Mize has not been great. Reese Olson was hurt, just recently came back, still getting stretched out. What do you make of how they've been able to piece everything together, and how much has A.J. Hinch been, you know, kind of the puppet master, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to kind of talk to AJ about that today. I mean, it's cool about how kind of upfront he's been about their strategy. There's no hiding, you know, what they're trying to do. And now that we've gotten to this truly one game at a time, like we are here to win today, it has worked. And I mean, you've seen some of this from Cleveland. You know, Vogt's talked about this all year, where it's like all these relievers are ready to pitch in any role. But Detroit's certainly taken it to an absolute extreme when you have guys like Bo Brisky and Tyler Holton, who are both closing games and opening games. I mean, that's something that's a little more extreme than what Cleveland's doing. It is really, you know, something to behold, and you just wonder how much longer they can really keep it up. Now you have more off days, you got more rest between these outings, and in theory they can keep this rolling. But I think one of the big keys for this series is, you know, besides Skubal and then Tanner Bibee for Cleveland, who else is going to give either of these teams significant length?
Right.
I think that's a real X factor. Do teams want that? You know, or is the plan from the beginning just going to be, let's just roll through as many relievers as possible?
Talking to Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue here on a Friday morning. And Jordan, let's turn our attention to the Padres and the Dodgers. And there's been this, obviously a lot of hype right now surrounding the Padres and how they've been playing. A lot of people are picking them, but words have meaning, and the Dodgers are starting to try, and their fans are trying to portray themselves as the underdogs in this series. But you can't do that when you're favored in Las Vegas. You're the number one seed. You have better odds to win the World Series. You have home field advantage. Words have meaning, and we're pushing back on this notion that the Dodgers are not the favorites in this series. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. They did end up with the best record of baseball, and I think it is. I'm curious your guys' perspective on this. How this is not just the last week or so. Like, there are a lot of people, me included, who have, you know, gone on our respective podcasts or written this thing about how much we like this Padres team, regardless of their opponent and just how complete it looks. So I view it as more of a reflection of the confidence in the Padres as much as trying to treat the Dodgers like an underdog, which, to your point, is just patently absurd, regardless of, you know, maybe some of the faults in the roster that we weren't necessarily expecting when we talked about them at the start of the season. But for all of that, they ended up with what we expected in March, which was the best offense in baseball and the best record in baseball. Like, they still ended up at the end of the season with that, even though they didn't win 110 games like some people maybe have expected. And so to that point, it's like, that's fine. There doesn't have to be an underdog. These are just two amazing teams, and we should all be very fortunate that we get to, you know, kind of watch them square off again for the third time here in the postseason over the last few years, which is really, really something amazing.
Talking to our pal Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue, I said it yesterday on our 97.3 The Fan Roundtable, brought to you by Roundtable Pizza. It's pizza royalty. Jordan, that I'm going to be so interested to see, you know, obviously I love seeing the great players square off. I love it. But Mike Schilt v. Dave Roberts is going to be theater. Theater, how they both deploy. Because, again, and Ben made a great point yesterday. He said, look, everyone's loving on Padres' bullpen right now, and Tanner Scott and Jason Adam and blah, blah, blah. Dodgers are pretty good. Pretty good back there. They got some guys that throw really, really hard, can get a lot of swing and miss. They have pretty elite stuff. How they're going to deploy them, especially Dave, because you talk about the Padres have your more traditional starters that could potentially give you some length out of their, you know, top three guys. But the Dodgers really don't, with Yamamoto and Jack Flaherty. Maybe Walker Buehler threw six his last time out. But you look at this, how aggressive do you expect Dave Roberts to be in these games?
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you that I think for all we talked about, oh, we're so worried about the Dodgers starting pitching, and I think some of that is valid. I do think that their bullpen is being overlooked, especially since they've added Kopech. I mean, there are some real guys back there, and, like, that is not an insignificant thing. But to your point, I mean, boy, we've seen every version. Like, because we see the Dodgers in the postseason every year, we have seen Dave Roberts press some great buttons, and we've seen, you know, some horribly timed, you know, you've got the whole spectrum of moves in the postseason, and such as the you know, the blessing and the curse of being there every single season. So yeah, I totally agree with you. Is how much does he think that these guys can cover versus, you know, being willing to turn it over? And then, I mean, with Yamamoto in particular, when you have a factor of, okay, maybe we're only going to be able to use him once in this series compared to maybe the CS, and I know swapping him from game two to game one maybe has something to do with that. You're absolutely right. I think for both of those, and for San Diego also, when in theory that bullpen is a strength, but so is the starting pitching, you can imagine a scenario. We've already seen a few times this postseason where Michael King looks amazing again, and then they pull him after five, and you're like, what are we doing? Like, that's kind of what postseason baseball is right now, is that constant back and forth.
Yeah,
and
I mean, last night with Tobias Myers coming out after five innings, and I mean, Quintana's pitch count was a little higher, but then they bring in Buehler, and he gives up the two home runs. This all goes back to Kevin Cash, and I want to get Kyle's perspective on this as well, pulling Blake Snell in the World Series. And you would think that because it didn't work out, everyone would go, we can't do that anymore. No, we're just seeing it more and more and more in the postseason, where starting pitchers are going to go shorter and shorter and shorter.
68 pitches the other day.
Go ahead, Jordan.
You know, Milwaukee and, you know, Toronto last year. And that's why when you think about the two teams here with Detroit, you know, Hinch has it made, because he's like, listen, there ain't no secret about it. We're taking this so far to the extreme that this is what you are expecting us to do from the beginning. There is no hiding about it, so that when you get to a point when you are pulling your starter after one time through the order, or your bulk guy after one time through the order, we're not even blinking, because it's like, well, that's the plan. But when you do have those traditional starting pitchers, which you're expecting to stay in the game longer, I totally agree. It's funny, you think like, oh, well, they'll never do that again. It's like, no. In some ways, teams are just even more empowered to try that strategy, and sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't.
And that's the thing. The truth is, a lot of it just comes down to your personal. You mentioned the Tigers. They kind of have to do it because Casey Mize has not been effective. Reese Olson was hurt. Kyder Montero, who was their second best pitcher down the stretch besides Skubal, they didn't even put him on the wild card roster. But we've seen teams that have the horses that can go deeper and pull them early, and it rarely actually works out. And it's so funny to me. It's people look at the numbers, they get scared a third time through the order, but you have to manage to the situation, to the game. Talk about Blake Snell, that not working. And particularly with the Dodgers, Jordan, I want to get your thoughts on this, because being out here on the West Coast, covering baseball from a national lens out here, I think is a little different perspective than doing so from the Central like you. You know, I've watched up close as Dave Roberts, who is a fantastic manager, great with connecting with players, understands the media, understands the game and strategy, has really botched his playoff bullpen decisions again and again and again. I think about 2019 Nationals Game 5, bringing Kershaw and, you know, giving up the homers.
chaser, man. Chases the moment.
I think about 2021, bringing Julio Urias in Game 2 against Atlanta on his throw day when they needed their pitchers in bubble wrap because they were so short of starters, and that was a poor decision. I think about 2022, pulling Yency Almonte with a 1-0 count and bringing Alex Vesia for Jake Cronenworth. I mean, just again and again and again.
Yes, but when Bruce Bochy does it, it works in the World
and
Series.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's so weird.
But I mean, so I'm curious about your perspective, because I think our perspective is, and mine in particular, Dave Roberts, great manager, consistently botches bullpen decisions in the postseason. How do you guys see it?
I think it's a fair point. And I do think, though, that like Roberts is kind of in his own class now, just because of how many times we've seen this go wrong. But also, maybe that would be the case for other managers that were in the postseason literally every season.
Yeah.
So I don't really – now, that doesn't make it any more painful when, you know, all different flavors of these decisions end up backfiring, because to your point, like, these are all slightly different scenarios, but always feels like it was just slightly the wrong time. And so we might be heading towards that again. I do still think in most cases with most managerial things, you do have to think first about the personnel involved. And so depending on how all these games shake out, we might be in a situation where it's just like, listen, these were his best options here. I think you could say that about some of the Mets situations and Brewers over the last couple of days, which is also interesting. So I think it's valid. Again, I don't think managers are – they certainly should not be absolved of criticism, because this is when their choices matter the most, of course. So I think that's totally fine and natural for people to react that way. But with Roberts in particular, it's just like, man – it's when we're seeing it every year, that is both, is that a reflection of him as a manager? Maybe. Is it also a reflection of he's just in these spots every year when literally no other manager has been in the splightlight to that degree?
Opportunity to make mistakes
will lead to
mistakes.
Exactly. Yeah. Jordan, appreciate it. Enjoy the time in Cleveland and that series between the Tigers and the Guardians, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, brother. Have fun, man.
See you, weekly Cespedes Family Barbecue segment. Of course, they're with Yahoo Sports as well. Brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue at North Park, Flynn Springs, at the ballpark. Always in the mood for some of their brisket. It is absolutely fantastic. And I almost just realized it as you were saying it, Kyle, that Dave Roberts, who obviously kind of grew up in the Bruce Bochy kind of school of managing. Boch did that all the time. Did it with the Giants. You know, you can go to Mad Bum and you pull guys on short rest and you put them in relief and starters.
Crazy.
And it worked for Boch. And that's
there's the difference.
I'm going to do what Boch did because he's the best postseason manager and he keeps chasing these Boch moments, but no one makes it work like Boch has done.
I think the biggest thing is Bochy was more opportunistic and did a better job of assessing the situation. He did that with Madison Bumgarner in Game 7 of a World Series where you have to win. 2021... Game 2 of the NLCS, you bring in Julio Urias in relief when you do not need to. You just go, boom, Trinan, Gratterall, Jansen, game is over.
It's over.
I think about it. So to me, it's about there's nothing wrong with there are certain times to be desperate. You know, pulling using Max Scherzer Game 5 of the NLDS against the Giants 2021.
Yep.
Absolutely, go for it. That is a must-win. Go home. Let's do this right now. But consistently, but there have been times where he does things he does not need to. I go back to Game 5 of that 2019 NLDS. I was there covering it against the Nationals. They had it set. Adam Kolarek can handle Juan Soto and is probably a better person to do so. You do not need to bring in Clayton Kershaw in that situation. Gives up back-to-back bombs. And then, once they get into extras, he left Kenley Jansen way, 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 way too long. He was done two batters before the Howie Kendrick homer. So I think with Dave Roberts, because he loves his players so much, he tries to put them in these moments to something special.
Moment chaser. And always has been.
And in reality, you have to be smarter about, do we really need to do this? And I think that's a difference between what Bochy did versus what Roberts did. Bochy was better at picking out his opportunities to do it.
With no feelings involved. He wasn't getting Mad Bum in there because, well, I just really love Mad Bum and he deserves this. It was, he's our literal best option to get us through these last, whatever, how many outs he got. And you know, listen, hopefully he doesn't figure it out anytime soon and we keep rolling, because he's got plenty of weapons down there, you know, and again, depending on how Yamamoto does in the first inning, this is what you want him. You want to get to him really, really early. You want to get into that really good bullpen in the third or the fourth inning so that not only can you try to score off them, but you get to see them over and over and over potentially for the next five nights.
We've got a question from Viva Padres in the chat to wrap up this Dave Roberts conversation. He asked, does Dave Roberts get fired if the Dodgers are eliminated by the Padres? And while, you know, it seems kind of crazy, a guy who wins, you know, average of over 100 games every year.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question. I don't think the Dodgers will have any other moves to make other than trying to change the manager. They've signed every player that they can sign.
You say that until Juan Soto's in Pantone blue next year. And, I mean, bro, if they don't do it this year, again, this is their... Let's go to break. We'll come back and talk about it, because
I want to ask Kyle about the decision by the Dodgers to switch their starting pitchers and why they did that and what he thinks it means as well. We will get to that coming up next after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, so some different thoughts here on whether Dave Roberts can survive another postseason failure for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And what does that postseason failure mean? I mean, if he beats the Padres and then they lose to...
That's a failure.
Okay. I mean,
I'm going to push back on that. The thing is, the Phillies are the best team in this field. Even though the Dodgers are the one seed,
yeah.
I think anyone who looks objectively at the roster construction, the Phillies are the better team. I think as long as the Dodgers win this division series,
their World Series. It's Dave Roberts' World Series.
He's fine, because here's the thing. The Dodgers know this is not their World Series team. With the state of their starting pitching,
true,
they understand that. And they say, okay, next year we get Ohtani back, Yamamoto, Glasnow. Next year is the year where they say we are a World Series team with a World Series rotation. They know this is not that year.
Well, it's baseball, so Dave can do everything right. But if Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman go, you know, 2-for-27 in the series, they're losing anyway. And it would have nothing to do with Dave Roberts at all.
Correct. And that's a scenario where I think then it starts to become a little bit dicey. But the thing is this, Dave Roberts and the Dodgers front office work really, really well together. He has the universal respect of his players. He has the track record, and he has a lot of respect in the game. With the strength of the relationship, I think it would be very, very, very unlikely he is fired after this season, unless the Dodgers come out and show no fire whatsoever, as they did in 2022. If that's the case, that's the only scenario where I see they even think about it.
Well, and Skip Schumacher exists now, and Skip was a Dodger. I played for the Dodgers. West Coast.
We don't like to talk about
West
that.
West Coast guy. Yeah, no, it's going to be the end of my career. I'm going back to 94.
Now, the fans could have a say in this as well, because sometimes the outcry gets so loud, yeah, a team has to respond and do something. I don't know if Dodger fans are going to go that direction.
I don't know that Andrew Friedman really
cares. They won't be
happy.
If the Padres beat him again in the playoffs, they will have an unhappy fan base.
Yeah, to say the least.
They absolutely will.
And sometimes you have to appease an unhappy fan base in a way that you may not have necessarily decided on your own, but someone has to be the ritual sacrifice when that happens.
I will say, from a financial standpoint, though, the Dodgers know they're going to sell out next year, so it's not like not firing him is going to cause them a financial
hit.
They're still going to sell it every game. So I think, look,
they are printing money right now.
If Dave Roberts, you know, brings in Yoshinobu Yamamoto in the sixth inning of Game 3 because it's his throw day then we might have to really look at things. But the thing is, he's already kind of done some of that stuff.
And he still survives.
So I just think, again, so much is interpersonal dynamics with the front office. We see so many managers who are objectively successful, but because someone in the front office doesn't like something, they let them go.
Sure.
And there's other managers who just have nine lives because the one or two key decision makers like him and believe he's the guy, whether he actually is or not. I do feel like Dave Roberts, the relationships he has are so strong, and given the state of the Dodgers this year and them kind of knowing internally this is not their World Series team, I do think he'll be okay.
Now, the decision to flip-flop Jack Flaherty and Yoshinobu Yamamoto doesn't seem like a Roberts decision. It was Andrew Friedman who said it yesterday. Feels like a front office, we're making this change. The reason they stated was so Yamamoto could come back in Game 5, or at least the flexibility to bring him back in Game 5 on an extra day's rest. Yeah. You could also go with Flaherty on 4 days rest in Game 5. Does that make sense to you, Kyle?
Yes, it's not the whole story. The whole story is Yoshinobu Yamamoto has the most dominant stuff of anyone on this staff, and he also has the best big game history of anyone on this staff. And that was in Japan.
Wow.
But he has it. Yeah. He was lights out there. So for them, even though he's coming off of his injury, he's still building up his innings. He just went five innings for the first time in his last start since coming off the IL. You say, who's our guy with the best stuff? Who's our guy with the best big game track record? Who's the guy that if we get to a Game 5, we want on the mound? The answer is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. No disrespect. Jack Flaherty is a great pitcher. Walker Buehler has the history of doing it, but he's nowhere near the same pitcher after his second Tommy John surgery. So that's why they did it, and it's understandable.
Has Yamamoto really? I mean, the biggest game he's probably pitched was the first one in Korea. All eyes, he's in Asia.
Japan, he said.
In Japan.
I mean, but as a Major League Baseball player, he doesn't had a lot of big games for the Dodgers this year.
He had a lot of games. Yeah,
that first one in Korea where all the eyes were on him, and he did not do well in that game. Now, that was March, which you can kind of throw out the window a little bit, but you know, Padres hit him pretty well both times they faced him.
They were the only team. If you look after that Korea game, he was excellent. He was dominant.
He's been good.
And a lot of it was just, he was really cruising, then he just got hurt. And since he came back, he's been building back up. So I think, again, and it's more than just what he's done in the major leagues, it's what he did in Japan, facing, you know, great competition again and again and again, what he did in the Japan series. You know, it's not just about it, big games, it's about mindset. It's about confidence. It's about all these X factors that are hard to really measure. And the best thing you can do is rely on the track record. And he has the track record.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's a really good pitcher. Yeah, that's why you spent $300 million to get him here.
I mean, the richest contract in Major League history for a guy who never pitched a Major League inning.
You don't throw that at a scrub, you know?
And I get it. He's good. He's got good stuff. I wonder where that confidence goes when, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. in the first inning hits 113 miles an hour.
I hope so.
And that's the thing, right? We can talk all we want about, you know, the strategy and why they did XYZ. It comes down to how the players perform in the moment on the field. There's plenty of times teams do things that are the right decisions, that logically make sense, are
right
backed
process.
Up by data and facts, and then guys just get beat. That's life. That's sports. Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I do think this is the right decision. That doesn't mean the Padres couldn't come out and just bomb him in the first inning. They're a great offense. Just on the flip side, there's a chance Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman go 2 for 27. It's also possible Ohtani comes out and hits five homers in four games.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's just going to come down to great players, head-to-head, mano-a-mano, who comes out on top.
Yep.
All right.
Can't wait.
We're going to take a timeout. Paulie does have a Rindle report. It is baseball-focused with Kyle here, including the news we haven't even brought up yet. Terry Francona and what was announced yesterday and reported yesterday. So we will get to that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on the way on a Friday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Now we got a full house. I mean, we've got Kyle Glazier in studio from Baseball America. We had all the TV anchors in earlier. We had Jordan Schusterman on, and still coming up, top of the hour, Friar Friday, the tall drink of water.
Yeah.
Bob Scanlon is going to be on the program as well. And don't forget to come out to Alesmith tomorrow in Miramar. Got a very special Ben and Woods show, 2:30 to 4:30, getting you ready for the playoffs. Alesmith 394 Pale Ale, the official rally pint of the playoffs. You can watch all of the postseason action at Alesmith at the Tasting Room in Miramar with game day specials on 394 and more. They're going to have the audio up. They're going to have the giant TV, the huge, like, 74-incher that they just put in, and all their other TVs showing the game as well. It's an official, like, spot to watch. Tomorrow, though, 2:30 to 4:30, Ben and Woods, Alesmith in Miramar. All right, Paulie's got a Rindle report, some headlines coming up for us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
Gentlemen, good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Extra gentlemen.
Kyle, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Of course.
All right. Got a couple of baseball stories. We haven't even discussed it at all this morning. I was a little bit surprised it stayed on the board this long. But Terry Francona coming back to manage the Cincinnati Reds. They announced a three-year contract yesterday, and I love Tito. He's such a good manager, such a good human being. But I was so surprised because I thought he was like done.
They did pulled the Urban Meyer,
the Bruce Bochy.
Not a bit. He was ill. He was out. He missed so many games for the Guardians because he said, ill.
I can't do this anymore.
I cannot do it.
Sometimes just take a reset and look. This game is addicting. Once it has its claws in you,
you're done.
That you want to keep going. So,
this is a coup for the Reds, though.
I think so. And I wondered how Reds fans felt about it because, there's always the tendency to, hey, let's get younger and let's modernize and this and that. And I thought they made some really interesting moves last offseason, bringing some good guys in, and they've got a good core of young players, and I think Tito with that group of Ellie De La Cruz. Are you kidding me, dude? Like, I think that guy's gonna do some special stuff. But it's the old Buster Posey thing too. I'm retiring to spend more time with my family, and then you go spend more time with your family, and you're like, I need another job.
Get me out of here.
I'll do whatever I need to do.
I think, and Kyle, you tell me if you agree. I think David Bell got a little bit David Rossed as well. Not a bad manager, but they had someone that they realized they could get, and then they decided, all right, you're out the door because we got something better we can steal.
You think they knew they had a shot at Tito?
The fact that they've announced it this quickly, they absolutely knew they were hiring Terry Francona when they fired David Bell last week.
I think really he got Rick Renteria. It happened to Rick twice. Both Chicago times. I think this is something where, like you said, Wizzy, the Reds have a really good, talented group of young players that they're just trying to get to that next level. And Tito is the manager who can do that. He can help these guys get to that next level, play more cohesively, and ultimately become a postseason team. The talent base is there. Now they've just got to mature and grow in the game.
Bro, I'd let Tito raise my kids. I mean, that's just a guy you trust, like, immediately. And every guy that's ever played for him, maybe except for Trevor Bauer, would say, this is the guy. I mean, he is beyond revered.
A lot of time in Ohio now, though.
I was going to say, is that a rivalry, Cleveland and Cincinnati?
I mean, Guardians fans are not happy.
Not being in the same league, but in the same state, I'd imagine there's some feelings going on there.
Yeah.
No, guys, like you said, it's like, oh, hey, I'm done dating, and then they go date someone else a year later. It's not the best feeling.
That's exactly right. I mean, you walk away, hey, guys, I'm quitting radio. I can't do it anymore. And then it's me and Hillary in the morning, in the afternoons on 91X. You guys would be pretty hot at me after 6 months or whatever, but yeah, man, it just I'm happy for him, and he's a really, really good manager and a great person.
All right, so we were talking about Yamamoto most of the morning, the pitching change that the Dodgers announced for game one of the NLDS.
Yep.
I want to ask about another very successful Japanese pitcher, because sources from ESPN, Jeff Passan, putting it out there today that Tomoyuki Sugano is going to be heading to Major League Baseball after his Japanese career. Now, he turns 35 years old next week, but he's one of the most successful pitchers in the Japanese Baseball League history.
If only we had somebody...
Should we get Kyle Glazer on the phone?
Get Kyle Glazer on the phone.
Right.
I believe
book him for our next segment.
If I'm not mistaken, Kyle Glazer wrote the scouting report on this young man. Well,
I've actually known him for a while. He pitched the gold medal game of the 2017 World Baseball Classic, Japan and Team USA. Semifinal, I should say. Mm-hmm. Japan, Team USA back at Dodger Stadium. So we did get a look at him there. And yeah, I covered him for years, wrote the report on him when there were rumors he was coming out a few years ago. You know, at this point in his career, this is more of the veteran who knows how to pitch. The stuff is all fine across the board. There's nothing electric here, right? It's not like he throws 98, 99. It's not like he has this ridiculous slider curveball. It's a four-pitch mix, good command, knows how to mix and match, knows how to move up and down.
Sounds like a number three.
That's kind of the idea here. Again, this isn't, you know, Yamamoto 26 with premium stuff across the board. This certainly isn't Roki Sasaki early 20s throwing 100 with sliders from hell. This is the situation where, hey, get a veteran, bring him in here, hopefully get 3 years out of him.
Sounds like a Red, to be honest with you. He's a Red.
Yeah, again, veteran starter who can help someone. He's not going to be your ace, but like I said, a 3-4 veteran presence, knows how to pitch. He can help you.
What happened to Roki Sasaki?
That's what I was just going to ask you, because there's somebody in the chat said Roki's not coming next year. Nobody really knows, though, right? There's a lot of speculation.
Right. So the biggest thing with Roki Sasaki is the way the posting system works. It doesn't make sense for his team to let him go before he can become a full free agent, so they can get or before he can get that 6-7 year mark, because then they get a massive posting fee.
Does he have any control over that to say I don't want to play here, I want to go to the big leagues?
And that's the tough part. Ohtani had a negotiated part of his contract, because he was being scouted in high school by major league teams, and so when he signed with Nippon Ham, it was part of his contract that he can leave whenever he wants. We don't know if Sasaki has that clause. Japanese contracts are not public like they are in the U.S., so no one really knows if he has that. That's why there's so much speculation. Is he, isn't he? Because he wouldn't be eligible under the posting system for his team to get the max amount till, I believe, 2026. So that's why it comes down to if that clause is there.
Chance in the chat says he said from his mouth that he wants to stay in Japan one more year. Okay, so I didn't see that, and I'm glad that Chance did.
But one more year would still be 1 year short of his post, right?
And again, that's where it's going to come down to conversations between him and his club, what arrangements they're willing to make. And ultimately, the way the Japanese professional contract system works is, unless he has their written clause, it's really up to his club. His club can say no. I mean, that's their right. It wouldn't be in their best interest to tick off their best pitcher.
As good as he is, though, is the maximum value for a team. If you could get him under the international signing rules,
sure,
give him the max bonus, but that's all you have to give him. You control him for 6 years, a potential ace pitcher that you can put right into your rotation. That's like signing a DeVries, but he's ready to go now, versus the posting system where you may have to pay $300-400 million. That's a totally different scenario,
and that's why teams are hoping that he can come over. It's the same thing as Ohtani signed for $2.3 million, the max in the international cap, and was under Angels control for 6 years. That's what you are hoping for. That's what every team dreams of. It's just going to come down to, again, will Sasaki's team, does he have that clause in his contract where he can come out and do that?
By the way, if there was a DH in the National League, he would have been a Padre,
here, man.
And
yeah,
not an Angel. Maybe still a Padre today.
All you purists out there, you just Ben was one 6 years ago. I like pitchers.
I think that's the only thing that really stopped him from signing with
this
the Padres.
This is all your fault.
I really do.
There's no question that is what swung it heavily in favor of AL teams.
Keep in mind, the Dodgers
were very, very, very involved. So,
but AJ Preller learned Japanese.
You say that, it doesn't matter. This guy, you know.
At the time, the Dodgers were a more winning team than the Padres were, given his desire to win at that
time.
Well,
then he went to the Angels.
Right, but in the American League.
But at that time, the Angels were only 2 years off a postseason appearance, had a healthy Mike Trout.
Fair.
It was a different scenario.
Again,
it was.
AJ learned Japanese.
And is very impressed by that.
Yeah.
All right.
It is impressive.
It is impressive.
Yeah,
it is impressive.
Do what you got to do.
Finally, I have one of my favorite updates to a story, maybe of all time, in Rinder Report history.
This is an all-timer,
so this was, what, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago that we talked about You probably saw the video footage of the Jane's Addiction concert that ended abruptly when lead singer Perry Farrell got in the face of his guitar player,
Dave
and they
Navarro.
Started yep. shoving each other, and he was trying to take a swing, and you're like, this guy's on something. Like,
yeah,
something is not right here. The show ended, the tour ended, and
the band broke
the
up.
The band it's over. Has ended.
Perry's right? in
they're,
rehab.
They're
it's,
over.
It's very rock and roll.
It's very, very rock and roll.
Well, and, how rock and roll used to be.
What's rock and roll in 2024 is audio technicians leaking. I mean, where did this come from?
No, he sent this over. The mic tech from Jane's Addiction has the audio, and he, I think he went on a podcast, and he's like, check this out.
Every microphone, even in this studio, has its own
feed
and that I can record. I can isolate each one of our microphones, and that's how we get a lot of clean drops of Ben saying something funny.
You like clean drops.
I can only record his audio. So they had Perry Farrell's mic, the isolated vocals of just his microphone from that night.
From that night, at that moment, essentially, you know, 30 seconds before he spun out of control and went to attack Dave Navarro.
It's unbelievable. If you hear the voice in the background, that's the mic technician explaining what's going on here. It's strap in.
Check it out.
That's when he hits Dave. Pushes Dave.
Just Dave.
Thank you, everybody!
Full punch.
And that's when they start fighting, and he gets dragged off the stage.
Wow.
You hear those sounds coming from like a stall in the restroom you want to call.
Who does number two work
for? I want to call someone to...
That is me if Dylan Cease gives him a first inning home run to Shohei Ohtani. Save that one forever. That's the one I want. Oh my God, Dylan Cease just walked the bases loaded.
Another expression, got a voice like an angel.
Yes. Oh God, I'm crying right now.
I feel like that dispels the notion that you have to actually be able to sing
to be a singer. 100%, man. Yes.
I remember the first isolated vocals segment or bit that we ever did on Ben and Woods was Chris Cornell, Black Hole Sun.
That was
amazing. It'll like bring tears to your eyes. It's unbelievable.
Chills, like your hair on your arm stands up.
And then you hear these isolated vocals.
Perry, God.
Was that a C sharp or a D flat?
He was on that note. Definitely sounded flat, for sure. God, dude,
that's brutal.
Oh man, the bass player.
We're having fun. I would like to say, I'm very glad he's getting the help.
Me and you,
absolutely.
Me and you both, dude. I mean, I love Jane's Addiction so much, and that's really tough to see. But man, you know, the bass player for Porno for Pyros, which was his side band, came out recently. He goes, Perry Farrell is literally the worst human being on the planet, and I'm like, I'm reading this stuff, going, oh God. And so, you know, good. Hopefully, he's in rehab, getting treatment, gets the help he needs. But yeah, that was. That was a pretty tough one to listen to this morning.
Whew. Paulie, thank you very much. This segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football, and B-Dubs is kicking off football season with two limited-time sauces. Try their new Buffalo Bacon Sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon, or get the fan-favorite hot barbecue before it's gone. Try them at your local B-Dubs, or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings. Go! Scan can put down some wings. Scan... Skin can put down a lot, actually. You see, he's very tall. He's very thin.
That man eats.
But that man,
does he? You wouldn't believe.
You don't know this about Skin?
Is that a thing?
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know
gracious.
That.
He's like Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. Skin, I had no idea.
Skin can put it down. Like pre-game, during game, post-game. Skin's got the metabolism of a canary.
Wow.
He works out hard, though. I mean, he earns his meals.
I had no idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know he was a big eater.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big eater.
Big, more of an eater.
More of an eater, he is. All right, Scanlon next on a Fryer Friday on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.